guys. How's everyone doing? This is Von's voice number 4. Very special edition this week. We got Thanksgiving coming up. Hope everyone's gonna enjoy time with their families. And if you can't because you have to work or something, hopefully you give your families a call and get talking to them and enjoy the Thanksgiving break. I'm sure everyone that's in school is loving this time of the year. But this is the 4th Von's Voice podcast, and I got a lot to talk about today. Gonna try to cram it all in this little segment, 30-minute segment here. But song you're hearing is That's Life by Frank Sinatra. I changed it up a little this week because I just bought the Frank Sinatra CD, and it's wonderful. I think everyone should buy it. It's the best of the best. From Frank Sinatra, and it's a really good CD. I purchased it, and this is a good song. I think it gives the intro a little bit of a good sound, and it's a good intro song, I feel. But besides that, we have no Tyler Haig today. He's kind of busy. His girlfriend's been in town here in Minneapolis, so we couldn't really find a time where both of us could do it. But I do plan on having him in the future as kind of a color guy. I think that went really well, so you guys don't have to listen to my boring voice the whole time. But yeah, I think that's probably gonna be a big change I make in the future, and hopefully that's something you guys like, and hopefully that will be make it better and a lot more people will listen. We're getting a consistent amount of views, which I think is really surprising. I mean, I expected the first one to get a little bit of views and then kind of drop down, but it's still sticking strong, so I'm glad you guys like it. Hope everyone's still listening. Hope I'm not doing too terrible of a job, but hopefully it's enjoyable. As I said, plenty to talk about. I'm going to start in the NFL. Huge week in the NFL this week. The Patriots last night just dismantled the Kansas City Chiefs. I mean, they played a poor first half, but they definitely picked it up. Gronkowski is looking like one of the best tight ends, and he's just looking like a monster. I mean, he might be more important to that offense than many of the players, even including Wes Welker and such. He seems like he's the glue to Tom Brady and that whole offense, and everything's coming together for them. They are right now currently, as I'm looking at the conference standings here, they are number 1 at 7-3 with the Texans at number 2. I mean, I was checking out some schedules for both of those teams. I saw the Pats. The Pats have Philadelphia, Indianapolis, and then the Redskins. Their next 3 games, which should be a 3-0 stretch there. I think they'll probably go 3-0, and if they go 3-0 there, I think they'll just roll into the postseason as the number 1 seed. I don't really see them losing many games. They're playing at a high level. They did stumble a little bit against the G-Men, of course, but we'll get to the G-Men later. The second place team is the Houston Texans. They are looking really good. The only problem is that Matt Schaub did get hurt, which is absolutely terrible for their team. Matt Leinart is starting, so I laugh, but I shouldn't be laughing. I think he'll do well. He's got a really good running game, which he didn't really have that much in Arizona, and he's got a really good team, a great defense, and the number 1 receiver should be coming back. Arguably number 1 in the league, but that's a debate for another time. But I did look at their schedule as well, and they can easily, I think, go 5-1. I saw no big games. The one loss I gave to them was Cincy, because I think Cincy, I think they play them in the 4th or 5th game out of the last 6, and if Cincy's in that borderline, I think Cincy will want it more, and Cincy is looking really good this year with Dalton and everything, and once they get AJ Green back, I think they have a really strong chance to go 5-1. Atlanta's another tough game for them, but I could see them beating Atlanta as well. So I could see the Texans easily 12-4, which is definitely will have them keeping that number two spot, I believe. I don't think they're going to lose that division. I think they got that one under wraps pretty well. They're playing really good. There's the some division. The Ravens are 7-3, Steelers 7-3, Bengals 6-4. So that division's still extremely tough. Of course, I'll get to Tebow and the Broncos later, but I did have to mention that they're at 5-5 and they're right in the playoff hunt. And if Tebow can lead them, that would be, I would be speechless if Tebow can get them into the playoffs. But of course, I'll mention that later. Of course, looking at the NFC, you got, of course, the Packers at 10-0. San Francisco 49ers still only one loss. They're at 9-1. You got the Saints, Cowboys, and Lions. I was looking at, of course, I'm looking at schedules now because it's getting to that crunch time. So I've been looking at the Packers schedule. They got Detroit, the Giants, and Oakland coming up. This Thursday, I actually see a very losable game for them. Stafford is someone that's going to put up points, and their defense has not been good. They've allowed 38 to San Diego and then 26 to Tampa last week. So I can see Detroit easily scoring 30 on them or more. And if Rodgers has that one bad night, which I am expecting eventually, maybe not. I mean, he can surprise everyone by not doing it, but I expect him eventually to have a bad night. And this Thursday with their defensive line and their strong defense, I think they could give him a run for his money there. But I still have him coming out on top on that one. I can't see. The only team, and I'm not just saying this because I'm a Giants fan. Partially I am saying it because I'm a Giants fan, but I definitely can see the New York Giants beating the Green Bay Packers in 2 weeks. I mean, if the Giants lose to the Saints this week, in Monday Night Football, they are going to be desperate and playing, I don't even know, they're going to be playing so scrappy, playing with a ton of heart, and I think they have the front four that could get to Aaron Rodgers quicker than most front fours, and I think they have a good enough defense, a good enough cornerbacks that they could easily disrupt their offense. And he has too many receivers, but we do have depth at cornerback, and I hope that we can do something. I think the Giants will. That is the one game I can see the Packers losing, and then after that I just see them losing a couple more because they'll rest their players since they won't have any need to play them because they won't be playing for a undefeated season. But everyone watch that game, the New York Giants. I can see that upset right there, and I mean, the Giants, back to the Giants, bad loss to the Eagles. I mean, I give the Eagles credit. Vince Young didn't play well. I don't know why people are praising him, but he did have an 18-play drive to cap off the win. I still can't believe Eli fumbled that last one. I mean, I can believe it, but he should have kept it in. They should have scored on that drive and sent it to overtime, and then who knows. But give the Eagles all the credit and give a little shout-out to Austin, Eagles fan. I was not very happy after that game, but it's all right. I think the Giants, I mean, it's a tough, they have a really tough little stretch here. If they could get one of these next two in the Saints or the Packers, I think they'll be set up very well. I know the Packers have a good schedule, or the Cowboys, sorry, have a good remaining schedule, and they're looking promising, but I think the Giants can win 2 out of 2 against the Cowboys, and hopefully that right there will pretty much solidify them as the division champ. Otherwise, it's going to be tough in that division to make it into the playoffs. I mean, a lot of 7-3 teams, 6-4 teams. It's going to be quite tough to make it into the wild card hunt. But I think the Giants will make the playoffs this year. I think they'll give it a final run. Once Bradshaw gets back, once the team gets healthy, I think they will make a final push and will make it in there. Who knows? I still think it'll be Packers against Green Bay in the NFC conference. I mean, I guess that probably could go bad if the Giants were the sixth seed. Obviously, they're going to not play them in the conference finals. They'll play them in the semifinals, but I definitely could still see the Giants getting in, and I think they will, and I hope they win the division, but if not, I still see them getting one of those two wild cards because, and this is partially due to the Bears and Jay Cutler, a really upsetting story. I know Tyler, if you guys went to his blog, I know he's mentioned Cutler getting hurt, and Cutler did break his thumb for everyone that didn't know, or injured his thumb. I'm not sure if he broke it or anything. He did have to have surgery. And he might be out for the whole season. That's what it's looking like. Really, really sad deal. I mean, usually I don't get too worked up over injuries, but the Bears were, they were going. They had everything working. They've been playing really well. I mean, I don't know. I have a feeling that they would have been really good. They could have probably made to the conference finals. That's how good I think that team was. Matt Forte's playing well. The defense is playing good, but I did read an article that really like brought some light into my eyes, and it's exactly how I feel. It said, the Bears, I think the headline went something like, it went, the Bears won't know how much they need Jay Cutler until they play this game without him, and something along those lines. I know I just totally messed that up, but that's exactly how I feel. I feel that this game is going to show a lot of people out there, not just the Bears themselves, who probably do know, but many of the NFL fans, that Jay Cutler was really vital to that team. And even though many would just say, oh no, it's the defense and Matt Forte and it's running, I think he was playing incredibly well. And I think he was one of the main reasons, if not the main reason, why they were playing so well. So I think this week, if any of you are watching that game or look at the stats or anything, I definitely predict them to struggle. I think they could still win, but I think that you will definitely see how much they needed Jay Cutler and how big of a deal that injury is, and how much it hurts them going on in the future. And I did read another little headline that I saw that was really intriguing, was that I saw Brian Urlacher is proposing that the Bears, that they run a Tebow-style offense, quote-unquote, and that was really surprising to me to hear someone even mention that there is such thing as a Tebow-style offense. I mean, of course, analysts have talked about it and stuff, but I didn't really, like, I know that it's a completely different, he barely passes it, but I think that was really weird to hear Urlacher say that, because that means that people are actually paying attention and that people actually think that that type of offense might work in the NFL. I'm not convinced. I don't know if you can win. I mean, he has win. I'm a big Tebow supporter, as people probably know who follow my Twitter and stuff, but I don't know if that throwing it 10 or 15 times, something like that, can win you crucial games. And eventually, I think once people figure it out, just like they figured out the Wildcat and other types of offenses like that, I think that they will probably give an end to that Tebow-esque offense. And that's partially kind of the comments. If anyone heard Elway's comments, he kind of made it seem like he pretty much didn't want Tebow, and he doesn't think, they asked him, I believe it was, do you see Tebow, or did you think you found your long-term guy? And he said, no, he doesn't. They got to get better on third downs and stuff like that. So I'm kind of, I don't know. I think that situation's really messy. I think Tebow could be gone after this season. And I know Tebow was on First Take this morning, and he was talking about, they asked him if he heard the Elway comments. And from what I heard, it seemed like Tebow was pretty much saying thanks for the memories to the organization. He was pretty much saying, I'm out of there, or I'm going to be gone soon, which I thought was really surprising. I mean, his comments were along the lines of, I don't want to put words in his mouth, but it was something along the lines of, they gave me my dream. My dream was to be an NFL quarterback. They gave it to me. it's been great and stuff like that. So I think, I don't know, by his tone, it seemed as though he was ready to leave, and he made it seem like they wanted him to leave. So maybe that's just the interpretation I got, but I think that's what they were talking about on First Take as well. So it probably was the interpretation that most people got through that little spiel there. But enough of that. I want to move on to something I saw in an article that was really kind of struck me, and I thought I'd talk about it to see if maybe other people have heard about it. But it was this controversy with Andrew Luck, who kind of, they're talking about how he could decide his fate. So if he didn't want to go to the team that was got the number one pick this year, he would stay for another like year, is what I got from it, is that he was redshirted, obviously, and that he still has another year left if he wants to play, and that he could kind of pull the, I don't like this team that I'm going to get drafted to, so I'm just going to go through another year. But his dad did say that he will complete his degree, so I don't know if that will play a part in it. And so we might actually see another Andrew Luckless, that's how you'd put it, Andrew Luckless draft, if that's the way you'd put it. And that would put a big gap in the Colts, in the Colts' plans, I feel like, because I think they're pretty much going to be the number one pick, and they're, I'm sure, set on Andrew Luck if they are the number one pick. So I thought that was a really stirring little controversy. But although they did have a source that's known Andrew for 4 years or more, I think it was, and he said that Andrew's not that type of guy and that he's going to go to the draft. So Colts fans, yeah, enjoy it. Matt Herbert, I know you're a Colts fan. If you're listening to this, you can celebrate, because you're probably going to get your next quarterback for the next 20 years. All right, and now I'll move on again. Just wanted to share that little story. I did go to the Vikes game. I got a shout-out to the Vikes because I'm in Minneapolis. Vikings played a really poor first half. I was at the game. It was really bad to watch. I didn't really see them doing anything. Adrian Peterson got hurt, which I thought would be the end of the game there. They did, though, make a really good comeback in the second half. Everyone was excited. Fans left, but they were down 14 or something, I think, and they came back. They had a final drive. We thought they were going to score, and they threw Ponder threw a pretty bad pick in the end zone. I think it's a maturity thing. I think if he was a little more mature, he probably would have thrown it out of bounds or thrown it away, but he tried to thread the needle and it got picked. They did have another chance after that, and just it didn't work out again. But I didn't want to give a little shout out to the Vikings. Played a good game, lost to a good Raiders team. Palmer's looking good. Bush is looking amazing again, as he has been in the past weeks. But I did want to give them a little shout out. Along with them, I did want to give Miami a shout out. I think they're on a 3-game winning streak, playing really great football. And that ties back to my other point that this is why I can see the Giants getting another leg up, because I feel as though I really truly feel that, not just being a Giants fan, but I do feel that Miami will beat Dallas this week. They're both riding high, but I think it's just going to catch Dallas by surprise. A quick little early from Sunday to Thursday, a little early short week, and I think it is going to catch them by surprise. I do have Miami. I don't have any score, like predicting score, but I do think Miami's going to pull this off. I don't know how, but I think they will continue their hot streak and get this win over the Cowboys this Thursday. So everyone watching on Thanksgiving, if they win, you know, give me a little shout out. Check me out. Yeah, give me a little like on my Facebook status, because it's going to be like, boo Packers. Boo Cowboys. Yeah, Giants, something like that. So all the Cowboys fans listening, I'm sorry. If you want to refute, you can hit me up on Twitter, Vonster15. Plug. That was a good plug, huh? But anyways, going to move on from Miami. Wanted to give them a shout out. Back to Denver. I do need to talk about Denver, because I it's been a while. They played on Thursday. People probably forgot, but they played a really great game. Tebow was a hero again, foreshadowing. And Tebow played another great game. He just, every week, I guess he's proven everyone wrong. And I hope he continues to, because it's really exciting to watch. For me, I'm a big Tebow fan. I know my roommate Tyler's a big Tebow fan. We love watching Tebow. He's just a class guy. I mean, he plays hard and he wins. He doesn't like showboat or anything. He does his own thing. And so I wanted to give that little, those are my three, the Vikings, the Dolphins, and Denver. Three big shout outs. If Denver can win the division with Tebow, I think this is going to be like a historical year, a historical run. And I think Tebow could really, I really want to see what Elway would do then, because I'm really curious to what he would have to say if they made the playoffs after saying they don't have their future quarterback. But so those are the three team shout outs. And that ends pretty much my NFL section. A lot to talk about there. Took up almost a full podcast of time, but this one's going to be a little longer, a little Thanksgiving special for you guys. I mean, you probably don't want to listen to me for any longer, but you probably prefer shorter, but this one's going to be pretty long, so if you want to stick with it, stick with it. If not, that's your choice. But now I'm going to move on to college football. College football this past Saturday was insane. Even Thursday was crazy. I have to give just shout-outs to three teams, and you guys probably know what three teams. Iowa State, who did go on and beat Oklahoma State, the number two seed, which was nuts. That game, I missed the game, but I did watch the highlights. This is the word I'm looking for, and it looked like a thriller that everyone probably didn't expect, but that everyone wanted. And Iowa State did come up with it. I'm sure the SEC is happy about that, because now they have their two teams probably locked, but I will talk about that a little later. So that's pretty much set in stone there, that those two teams, Alabama and LSU, will probably play. My next shout out is to Baylor. The Bears, they came out really strong, and they beat Oklahoma, the number five seed. Robert Griffin III was insane. I watched the end of that game. It was crazy. I was on the edge of my seat, as I'm sure many people were. That was one of the better games I'd seen this season, and I'm not really a big college football guy. I mean, I usually know pretty much what's going on, but I'm not too into it like some people I know. And this season, I've actually gotten way more into it, just based on how just crazy the season's been. Plenty of upsets. I know, I'm pretty sure this year Florida State was ranked like one or two, sorry Jay, but they're now not even in it. This season's just been crazy, really unexpected, and I'm curious to see how the end of the season plays out and who plays in the national championship. And I mean, it's a big one. And the third shout out is to USC. USC, Matt Barkley just played an insane game. I watched the game, played really, really well. He was just lights out. I don't even know like what to say, but he played really well. The whole team played well, I thought. They were able to win against number four Oregon. I was kind of pulling for Oregon because I really wanted to see them. I thought they were a really good team to start the season and had that bad loss, and I was hoping they would bounce back. But I mean, what can you say? Matt Barkley is a really good player. I think he's going to be good in the NFL level as well, and I'm curious to see who drafts him after this year, because I think he'll be declaring. But those are my three little shout outs I had to give, as probably was expected. But I want to kind of move on to the LSU-Bama championship little drama. I was unaware of this before today, and I was reading up and I was watching some TV, and I actually kind of stumbled upon this little fact that I didn't know, is that Alabama actually, if you guys, whoever follows college football and is listening, they actually have a better, like,
chance of going to the national final than LSU does. And you guys are probably saying I'm nuts, but let me kind of explain it for you. From what I've gathered is that LSU and Alabama both have one game left, but the thing is that LSU still has the championship after that one game. So they essentially have an extra game that they could potentially lose in the championship, and that would propel them out of the NCAA final, in my opinion, and would probably propel Oklahoma State back in, which I think would be kind of really controversial because of that whole Arkansas thing. And so I think, because if Alabama wins this week, they're probably more than likely, barring some crazy thing that happens with this system, they're going to be in the national championship. And then LSU has one more game after that against the Georgia team, I believe, in the championship. So I think they're could be really vulnerable there if they start looking towards the championship and pass by Georgia, who could play the upset there and give them the loss, which would, in my opinion, and from what I've heard, propel Oklahoma State back into it, which makes no sense to me. But I guess if you look at it, Arkansas did lose to Alabama, so that would kind of just be counterproductive. But Alabama did lose to LSU, so that would also be kind of counterproductive. But nonetheless, I think the national championship will be a great game. But I do want to add a little thing, is that I don't know how many people are against this. I would love to hear from you if you're not, or just I could maybe have you on the next show. I'm going to try to do call-ins or something, but I'm really for a playoff system, and this is exactly why. Because of this season, teams that are undefeated, like, say, Houston and Boise State of the past, I mean, the playoff system would actually give them a chance. I think it would be way more exciting, generate way more revenue. I think it would, overall, I don't see the problem with it. I guess I haven't really looked into it that much. I did do a little research in my last couple of years in my speech classes, because I did some speeches on it, but I don't quite remember. From what I've gathered, a playoff system would only benefit the fans. I think they would probably sell more. One thing, the controversy would be that you'd lose all your bowl games and all your prizes and all that stuff. But I think kind of the system I have for it is that if you had a playoff system where each game was a bowl game in itself. So in a sense, each game would be a bowl game, but it would be in a playoff format. So once you got to the championship, it would be your BCS championship. And I think that way you won't lose the bowl games, you won't lose all that revenue from that, and then the fans would be happy to see all their teams and the undefeateds have a chance to win the championship. So that's my little spiel on the playoffs and how the college football needs to change it up a little bit. I'm sure there are a lot of people that disagree, there are a lot of people that agree, a lot of people that don't know, but they just love college football. So if you have a little take, you should message me on Twitter, shout out to me on Facebook or whatever, send me like a little message, and I'll get back to you, and maybe I'll have like a call in, have people talk next week about the system after we see how the results play out after this week, and we could have a little debate. I think that'd be kind of a cool add to the podcast. But that's all I really have for college football. I think it's great this season, and I'm really enjoying how it's playing out, and I think the championship will be a good one. But now I'm going to move on to the college basketball. I don't know how many people are college basketball fans. I know there's a lot of Duke and North Carolina fans, but I myself am a Minnesota fan recently and a South Dakota State Jackrabbit fan. So I'm going to talk about a little college basketball, and the Maui Invitational is being played right now. If you guys don't know, it's obviously in Maui. A lot of top teams, Duke and Kansas, are looking like the two champions. Duke beat Michigan 82-75 earlier today, which is Tuesday if you're listening to this a different day. And Austin Rivers is, I want to give a little talk about Austin Rivers. I think I didn't really, I expected a lot because he's the number one recruit and he's good, but his maturity level on the court is really surprising me. I've watched, I think, two of their games now, and you can just, he seems so calm and collected that it really kind of, like, took me aback because I was expecting, like, a few turnovers here and there, a couple bad decisions and stuff, but he's been playing really cool and collected, and he's just going to be one to watch. He's going to be really fun to watch as well, and I think he's definitely going to propel that Duke team to one of the top in the nation, as they usually are come the tournament. And I think he's a really good player, so I did want to give a little shout-out. I did want to talk about Michigan a little bit. Great run. I think Michigan played really well. They beat Memphis, and a really good team, a lot of good shooters. I watched that Memphis-Michigan game, so I did want to give them a shout-out. They played really well. Then I did want to talk about the other game, which is Kansas-UCLA. Kansas is up 46-26 at halftime right now as I'm doing this. So I think Kansas will probably meet Duke in the final, which will be really fun to watch. Haven't seen much of Kansas this year, but I assume they're going to be good as usual, and they will be one to watch come the tournament. So I did want to give those two a little shout out. And to finish off the little segment of college basketball here, I do want to give a shout out to Tennessee and Memphis. Memphis lost to Michigan, but they did beat Tennessee earlier today. But more than that, I did want to give a little talk about Tennessee. Tennessee had this guy, Maimon, I think that's how you pronounce his name, that played today against Memphis. They had a double overtime game. I watched the highlights. Really, it looked like a thriller. I was in class, so I missed it, but it looked like a really good game. You guys should watch the highlights. Awesome finish. Tennessee's Maimon had 32 points and 20 rebounds. So I think he's very deserving of a shout-out. They've been playing really good. I think they played Duke close as well, if I remember, but Duke pulled away in the end. And so Tennessee is looking good. I mean, they're always up there too, not towards the top, but near in there. They're always in the mix, and they're always up for an upset come tournament time. So shout-out to Tennessee, and shout-out to Jay Maimon from Tennessee with 32 points and 20 rebounds. And that right there will wrap up the whole college basketball thing. I didn't really have much to talk about, but I do want to finish up with two little things. I did want to give a little, not a shout out, but give some praise to Minnesota. The Gophers won again in a really kind of a, played Mount St. Mary's, I think, from the east somewhere. They, really bad game. I mean, Minnesota destroyed them, so it wasn't really much of a game to watch. I was actually the cameraman for that game, so it was really boring. Not a lot of action there, but they did get a good win. They're looking like they're maturing and playing really well, so Minnesota, good job. Ohio State and Sullinger, I do want to kind of give them some praise as well, because they're looking like a really good team. I'm really excited to watch those games. Not too excited for the Gophers because it could be rough, but am really excited to watch Minnesota against Ohio State, because Ohio State's looking like a powerhouse right now in the college basketball world. So Ohio State, good job. Keep it up, I guess. Kind of lose to Minnesota maybe and give us a chance. But Ohio State, I did want to give them some praise as well. So good job, Ohio State. And then that right there will wrap up the second wrap-up of college basketball. And I'll move on to my little random things of the week that I want to talk about. It's going to be short because I'm going on, let me see here, I'm going on 33 minutes. So if you're still sticking with me, I promise I'm going to finish in the next 5 minutes. So I apologize. Unless you enjoy this, so in that case, you're welcome. But I'd like to talk about some random things, a couple of songs. I was just going to mention most of the random today is music, and I want to mention Kid Cudi off his new, I don't know if it's off his new album, but with his new group, Wizard, his new song is called Break, I believe. I think that's all it is. I don't think, it might be like Breakup or something. Checking it quick. I can't find it here, but yeah, Kid Cudi released a new song. You can get it off of goodmusicallday.com. So Good Music, there's a little plug for them. Probably not going to hear this, but good little plug for them. You can get it off of there. Really good song. Kid Cudi, I think he's coming back. His new album's coming out January 30th. If you're a Cudi fan, he's doing a little band thing. He said he's not using profanity. It's going to be a good album, and I think he will do well. I wasn't a big fan of his second album, but his first one was amazing, and I think he'll bounce back. So hopefully, if you guys are Cudi fans, make sure to tune into that. Get that song. Check it out. Kid Cudi with a new song on Good Music All Day. It's called Break, I believe. I'm not quite sure about that. Don't quote me, but I would check it out. And with his new band, Wizards. So Kid Cudi's song. That was my first random. Another person that just came out with a mixtape, Mike Posner. Mike Posner is back. As I would like to say, I'm a big Mike Posner fan. Mike Posner just dropped his new mixtape. Everyone should check it out. Really good, in my opinion. A lot of the songs are good. He does a little weird thing where he just sings, like, he has Wonderwall, if you're familiar with that song, and he'll just sing it in his kind of voice, that his like raspy kind of smoker voice thing that he has, and he'll just sing it in his voice and then claim it to be like a new song. I don't get what he's doing there, but it's the new mixtape's called The Layover. So, but I do like what he does. Most of the songs are pretty good. It's free, so you can go download it on Good Music All Day again. And it's the first song. Yeah, he does do some weird things like Wonderwall, where he just sings the Wonderwall song, but in his voice. He doesn't like change the lyrics or anything, which I thought was kind of weird thing to do and then claim it to be a different song. But I would say that would be a cover, in my opinion. But he does. The album's really good, so props to Mike Posner. Keep it up, man. I hope the new album that he's going to drop, I believe this summer, is as good as, well, probably will be better than this mixtape. And so props to Mike Posner. Good job. Well, kind of on a little, two last little things, and three little things that I've mentioned. I wanted to mention Maurice Jones-Drew. A lot of controversy buzzing over his celebration. If you guys missed it, he scored a touchdown, and he was in Cleveland playing the Browns, and he did the LeBron James powder toss thing. A lot of controversy stirred over, which really surprised me. I don't think he even understood it. From what I've read, is he just kind of didn't understand where it was coming from. I mean, it was kind of mean, and because LeBron did kind of ruin the franchise in a sense, but I think that he's allowed to do it, and I thought it was pretty funny myself. And it was a good one. So Maurice Jones-Drew, good job. Made me laugh, if that counts for anything. And so good work. He's stepping his game up, as I'd like to also mention. So good job, Maurice Jones-Drew. You're awesome. Next thing I want to mention was Justin Timberlake's movie that recently came out. It's In Time, I believe, or something with time in it. Great movie. I did watch probably 20 minutes before I fell asleep, but not due to boredom, just due to overall tiredness. But I am planning on watching it this weekend with some friends and family. So if you have nothing to do this weekend and you are just sitting at home with some friends or hanging out and you guys want to do something, check out Justin Timberlake's movie. Really good movie. I think it's In Time or Just Time, but it has time in it and it's Justin Timberlake, so you'll know what movie it is if you look at your local theaters. So Justin Timberlake's movie, check that out. Last thing, Rebecca Black came out with a new song. If you guys missed it, I have no idea what it's called, but I watched the music video. It was thoroughly embarrassing, to say the least. I don't know what she's doing. She, on one end, claims that everyone's getting to her and is crying and just complaining about how Friday's blown up and everyone's saying mean comments. Then she, instead of stopping with music, she turns around and makes more songs to be humiliated over. Rebecca Black, I don't know what your aim is here, but I don't think she knows either. I think she just wants to, I think she wants the fame, but she also doesn't want to be made fun of, which in a sense doesn't make sense because you're making such terrible songs that you believe are good. So, I mean, Rebecca Black, I think you need to stop making music. I apologize, but at least if you make music, keep it in your basement or keep it on your computer and don't spread it, because if you do, you're gonna probably be crying for a majority of your life. I'm sorry, Rebecca Black. That was really harsh. Rebecca Black, I apologize. Keep making music and enjoy it, because live it up while you can, I guess, and make some money. And you're probably making more money making horrible songs than I will ever do doing anything in my life. So, Rebecca Black, props to you. Good job. Keep making music. Woo! All right. And that will wrap it up for Randoms of the Week. Rebecca Black, Maurice Jones-Drew, Justin Timberlake, Posner, and Kid Cudi for my Randoms of the Week. And now I will pause and take a little drink of some water. Hold on 1 second. And now that was my sweet transition. How'd you guys like that? Now I'll go into the Heroes of the Week. And this week I did foreshadow one of them. And I'll start again with 3, 2, 1. 3 will probably be surprising most people listening, but most people should know who I'm talking about. At number 3 is Iowa State's starting center, Tom Farniak. Tom Farniak is a Sioux Falls, South Dakota kid, went to Washington High School. He went to high school with me. I played basketball with him, knew him decently well, not like good friends or anything. I knew who he was. So after watching Iowa State beat Oklahoma State this weekend, I did give him props. He is their starting center, a redshirt freshman. They ran for 192 yards, and that is, of course, credit to the O-line, so I did want to mention that stat. He played really well. I watched him. I saw him on ESPN in the post-game speech, and he's a monster. He's really gotten bigger from high school, and he's definitely showing that he can play at the collegiate level and hopefully can make it to the NFL, so I can kind of have my claim to fame as knowing someone from the NFL. But Tom doing his thing. I will mention his younger brother is at Oklahoma, a redshirting freshman. He is 6'9", like 320, I believe. So really promising future for that family, and good job Farniak, especially Tom, this past week in beating Oklahoma State. And I'll move on to number 2. Number 2 is Robert Griffin III. He played a monster game. I think I have it here. I'll pull it up on my computer. But he just... I could not believe how great he played. Here he is. He had 479 passing yards, 4 touchdowns, 72 rush yards in the game. And they beat Oklahoma. And he just played an incredible game. I could not believe how good he was playing. I watched the game. He just tore them apart with his feet and with his legs. Had a great game-winning drive to end it all. And so I wanted to give him a shout-out, the number 2 Hero of the Week. Very good job, Robert Griffin. I hope you have a successful future, and I hope all goes well for you. You look like a very humble kid. So Robert Griffin, good job. You deserve number 2. And number 1, Timothy Tebow at number 1. As Tyler Hague likes to call him, Tebes. He is number 1 this week. He played a great game. Most of you are probably, it's already out of your memory, but he played against the Jets. Awesome game. Tebow just controlled it, played the Tebow style of game. The offense was running well. Their defense played great. And he had the game-winning drive, ran in from about 20 yards. Great guy. I did want to mention that he was on First Take with Skip Bayless, and he talked about being a quarterback, and his talk and his interview was amazing. You guys should check it out. Really, he's a really good guy. I'm genuinely a big fan of Tim Tebow, so Tim Tebow, keep doing your thing. He is awesome. I think he has a bright future, and hopefully he can continue on playing well, because I do want to see the Broncos make the playoffs. That would be an awesome and monumental successful run for him. So Tim Tebow, shout out to you. Number 1 Hero of the Week this week, Thanksgiving week. Awesome job. Speaking of Thanksgiving, that will wrap it up for the Thanksgiving week podcast. Super long one for you guys. I hope you enjoy it. A lot of great things I had to talk about. There's so much this weekend that happened. I had to make an extra long one, especially it being Thanksgiving. I have to say, shout out to my family. Everyone probably won't listen to this, I assume, but good job, family. Good job, family. They don't play anything. But shout out to my family. Ready to get home tomorrow and enjoy time with them. Ready to see all my friends from other places back together, reunited. Everyone enjoy the Thanksgiving break. Eat some turkey. Make sure to love your family. Spend time with them in the time that you have. If you're coming home from college, if you're not, have fun in college. Watch some football. Great games. Going to be this Thursday. Watch that Miami-Dallas upset. And so enjoy your break or your non-break. Enjoy Thanksgiving week. Enjoy football and food and family and something else that starts with an F that would probably fit. And I'm just rambling. So this ends the fourth Von's Voice podcast. Look out next week. Probably will be half of this, if not, or less than that. We'll have Tyler Haig back in the studio, hopefully. And studio, this is my desk where I'm speaking, but I have Tyler Haig back at the desk, yeah, and it should be another good one next week, so enjoy it, guys, have fun, hope you guys keep listening, tell all your friends, tell their friends, and see ya.